This is Twit.
There have been some things going on over in Australia, Facebook and Google in particular, and sort of the future of news publishing and whatever Facebook and Google kind of are in between a news publisher and the folks that exist on social media trying to get to the news. So I am excited to finally, we really wanted to be covering this topic, really wanted to be talking about it. And as things are sort of settling in, who better to talk about big technology than Alex Kantrowitz of the Big Technology Newsletter. Welcome back to the show, Alex.
Great to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we are happy to have you here. I think the best way for us to kind of start out this conversation is at the beginning. So with Australia kind of working toward a bit of legislation that was aimed at or at least on the face of it, it was aimed at claiming money for news publishers in Australia. That, of course, had a big impact on companies like Facebook and Google, who in different ways kind of exist as in-betweens, as the middle men, as it were, the middle people, as it were. So I was hoping that you could kind of start by giving our listeners a little bit of a rundown of the legislation and what Google and Facebook's roles are in this, especially given that, you know, these are only two of many different social media networks and potential sort of platform publishers.
Absolutely. It's extremely simple, actually, when it comes down to it. It's a law that is called a bargaining law, which basically says publishers, news publishers are not on the same footing when it comes to bargaining with companies like Facebook and Google, which are enormous. In terms of the value that these platforms get from news content. So the Australian law essentially is meant to force, an evening out of the bargaining power by putting the big platforms into arbitration with news publishers if they want to get paid, if the news publishers want to get paid for the content on the, that's going on to Facebook and Google. So, of course, Facebook and Google, you know, they link out to news sites, but news sites have felt that they're not getting, the right amount of value in return. And so this law seeks to even the plane.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. So that, yeah, that is, I like that as a kind of the base understanding of this. With that comes some concerns about sort of the motivations behind this regulation. And of course, Google and Facebook kind of taking different routes to work their way through this legislation. And I can remember a friend of mine who's a developer was talking, he lives in Australia, works in Australia, and was talking about how for the longest time, Google would pop up these notifications, news on Google is going to change, news on Google is going to change, over and over and over again. And so these two companies have kind of looked at different ways of informing Australians about this legislation. But of course, each side of this conversation have different things that they want to get out of it. So I was hoping you could kind of provide a little bit of clarity on sort of the arguments for this legislation, which I think are more clear, but perhaps it's the arguments against the legislation that are not as clear. Why are Google and Facebook kind of fighting back? And what are some of the folks who are sort of against this legislation? What is it that they're saying is so wrong about it?
Well, Google and Facebook have both given in their own ways. Google decided that it will, make deals with publishers. Facebook pushed back on the law a little bit, got some, small concessions, but ultimately decided it would come to the table too. And after banning news on its service for about a week, it's restoring it pretty much as we speak. The arguments against this kind of law, and I'm about to get into this in the newsletter that's about to go live, is that it puts too much power in the hands of the tech giants. Like if you're protesting the fact that the tech giants like Facebook and Google have too much power, now you're going to make yourself financially beholden to them. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. And of course, it will just deepen the relationship with these publishers and the big platforms. And honestly, I think it's time to just reexamine that whole thing. I think now more than ever, it's hard to see what publishers actually get out of Facebook and what Facebook gets out of the news itself. I think that publishers, by playing ball with Facebook, have flattened and commoditized the work they do. Facebook is much better at making money from their audiences before the click than they are after the click. So they've essentially given up the game to Facebook. And for Facebook, you know, you speak with Australians who have experienced this change over the past week, and they say their news feed's been great. It's been more peaceful. It's been less divisive, less toxic, more friends and family focused. They like it better. So I think this is a great point in time for us to ask ourselves, in particular when it comes to the Facebook case, should Facebook and news actually be married at all? And I think there's good reason to start to call for a divorce. And that's what I argue this week in the newsletter. Let's split it up.
So with things now seemingly returning to more of a stabilized place, do we know if this was more of an example of Facebook backing down or more of an example of the Australian government kind of giving in and making some concessions along the way?
Yeah, I think it's everybody giving in a little bit. You know, Facebook will now have to pay some publishers. So that's a backing down. The government sort of, you know, backed off a little bit in terms of its stricter laws. That's a bit of a back down as well. And now publishers are going back to Facebook. And I think ultimately that's going to harm them. One of the most interesting things to come out of this whole situation is that the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, ABC, different from the ABC in the US, but ABC there, had a long neglected, long overlooked news app. It was being downloaded less than 1,000 times a day at the end of January. And all of a sudden, downloads skyrocketed. And last week, it was being downloaded 15,000 times a day, and then it remained in that range for the next few days. After that, it became the number one app on the iOS App Store and the Google Play Store in Australia during that time. And so what that means is, instead of relying on an intermediary, as Micah mentioned at the top, what these news organizations like ABC were doing was forming direct relationships with their audiences. That data wasn't going to Facebook, it was going to them. They weren't being flattened, they were distinct. And ultimately, you know, they did lose a little traffic, but they are able to write stories in a way that builds trust with an audience versus something that is meant for a share button, which we know just incentivizes outrage, sensationalism, and divisive type of stories. So I think there was a shining, bright moment for news publishers, you know, in the eye of the storm, where they saw what life was like without Facebook. And I'm hoping that what we come out of the other side of this is that, you know, both they and Facebook realize that this is, you know, was a marriage of convenience. Facebook got engagement, publishers got traffic, but ultimately it went sour and everybody's losing from it. And I hope we see more publishers take a look and decide to completely abandon Facebook as a result and try to build their audience the old fashioned way with a direct relationship. And I think those that do will be rewarded tremendously.
I find this interesting that Facebook in finally saying, okay, here's the deal. You know, we're going to go forward with, you know, bringing news back to Facebook and working out the legislation in a way that is favorable to them as well as the other side. One of the things that was left in the legislation was the right for Facebook to once again ban news on the platform. And it sounds to me kind of you're saying that in the event where the company isn't able to, or the news publisher isn't able to come to a commercial agreement with Facebook and arbitration doesn't work in whatever way it might, and Facebook chooses to just not allow that, that could be a positive thing for these individual news publishers, because that move to Facebook as a means of growth has hampered these companies in a big way. And I look back at some of the stories about Facebook and its push into video and how it in many ways overestimated the views. And I speaking from experience, I was a news journalist at a company that was primarily video news. And I remember the shift from our video news on kind of our own platform to Facebook, 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 Facebook. And, you know, afterwards learning that maybe Facebook's views were not as accurate as one thought. So I feel that when it comes to Facebook, there's a long history of what's clearly a concern. But I'd love to talk a little bit more before we say goodbye about Google, because one of the main examples that I've seen folks give is, and it's one that I've used myself, is when I do a Google search for, you know, how to fix a flat tire, and the five or six steps pop up right there in the Google search, and I'm able to use that information to help me. Does that fall in the same category as the rest of this legislation? Are those publishers that do sort of help guides going to be helped out in this, or is it just publications that are covering news? So if I did a search for a helicopter crash, then the news would pop up and let me know that there was a helicopter crash. I wouldn't go to CNN, for example, and learn about it there. Does it cover kind of all types of publishers, or are we just talking specifically about kind of news media publishers?
Well, I think it's a live developing situation. I was speaking with one Australian publisher last week that said that they were totally banned on Facebook and then had to protest and say, well, we're not news. And they let them back, but didn't allow links. And then, of course, Facebook infamously also started blocking links from public health organizations. So this law isn't even in action yet. And I think we're going to spend some, like with all laws, right? It's a blunt instrument. And then we spend some time figuring out, you know, exactly how it's applied. But, you know, the example that you bring up with Google, that makes a lot more sense to me than the Facebook example. With Google, Google relies on providing up-to-date, accurate information to people searching for answers. And so news organizations provide that, and actually linking to news organizations and summing up their work actually does do a lot of good for Google. It definitely benefits from it. So, and it's good for news organizations. I mean, of course, they might write like more SEO-style headlines, but it's not like, you know, you're going to, the more outrageous your article or the more sensational your article, the better chance it has in showing up on Google. Although it might change the way that you write stuff. For instance, you might decide to write articles based off of highly searched terms, which happens all the time. But anyway, long story short, I think that the Google situation makes a lot more sense. And I don't think anybody has a full understanding of what sites are going to be included and what won't. And I think it will be sort of an ad hoc, you know, bit by bit, because ultimately, like, what is a news site, right? If I have a hobby blog, but I post that, you know, there's a good deal at Walmart, I'm breaking news to my followers. So by the nature, it's always a gray area. And there are many great conferences that go on with the future of news set where they try to figure out what news actually is. So I don't think Australia has come to the perfect definition. And we'll just watch it play out as this thing goes on over the next couple months.